Okay, we're on. Good. It's good to be here. Amen. After a real blowy couple of nights, it's a wonder we all haven't been blown away. Yeah, all the ladies just love the blowy days, eh? And get all the hair blown up. That's good. But okay, it's good to be able to speak the word again. Just always enjoy the privilege of being able to bring the word of God, and something that we all should enjoy doing, because we're all able to do that. God has given us that capacity that we're able to speak the word. And this morning, I'm sure we all look like to look back and remember all the good things in life, don't we? And remember the good things and see what's happened, what's taken place. You bring out, open the drawer and get out all the old photos, or put up one of your videos and stuff like that, and just look at all the good things that happen in life, you know, and you reckon, you know, you get excited and look, and you're able to rejoice over the good things, don't we, as we look back. And so I feel it's the same in the things of God. God wants us to remember, doesn't he? What he's done in our lives, what he's done for his people everywhere. And so God doesn't want us to forget the good things, the goodness, the good things that he's poured into our life. And so today I want to share a little bit about that from the word of God in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 8. And in chapter 8 we see here Moses is he's speaking to the Israelites, and he's just giving them a word of caution about when they're about to enter the promised land. And Moses is speaking to there and just telling them, he said, remember, don't forget what the Lord has gone. Don't forget the one who has brought you this far and has taken you into the promised land. And so here in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, it's about a call to remember and obey. And a part of the remembrance, it's about when we put our obedience into practice, you know, we can give all the glory to God. So Joshua says, Moses, it says here, be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestor. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry, then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people need more than bread for their life. Real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. Amen? So we see there, Moses goes on to speak. He says, so obey all the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with springs that gush forth in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley and grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olives and honey. What a powerful place the Lord has put before them to enter into. It is a land where food is plentiful and as nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. Modern day people think we're the only ones that have got all these wonderful resources. God had it all back there, didn't he? Yeah, the iron, the copper and all that stuff, the resources that we depend so much upon there. God had it there before. Okay, When you have eaten your fill, remember this, when you have eaten your fill, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands and regulations and law. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, that is the time to be careful. And he says here, do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. So there we see, we have a vivid account there of the Israelites, of the promise that God had given them, but also about their wanderings in the wilderness previously. But the context of this chapter is all about not forgetting the Lord. It's about not forgetting what the Lord has done there to the Israelites. It's the same for us. What God has done for the Israelites, he's done for us. What God could do for them, he can do for us. Amen? So we know it's all about not forgetting. It's a great word of caution there about don't remember what the Lord has done. Remember. And so it's a place where, you know, we just need to be in that place of remembrance. We've all been there before, a place where many of us have been before God found us. You know, we were in that barren place, weren't we? We were in the wilderness. And so we're there before God found us or before we found God. But it's a place sometimes we'd rather forget where we came from and of all the time misused and the opportunities that we missed. A lot of wasted time, wasn't it? I know in my own life I wasted quite a few years, you know, just through holding back and pulling away from the things of God. But God got me to that place. He said, right, today's the day. Now is the time. You've got to take a stand. And just declare, you know, your allegiance. Are you for me or are you for against me? And so I had to make that decision and reaffirm. Many years before, I made that decision to follow Christ. But I, again, had to come to that place because we got into that empty place, that barren place. Even though I was doing the things of God, there was an emptiness there, but that had to be filled. And so God just put his finger on me and done that. It was when I was living in Western Australia, in Mount Newman. I think I said before, I thought I could hide behind a mountain of iron ore. But I couldn't because it was in that very place, between the rock and the hard place, so to speak, that God touched my life and said, John, you know, today you're mine. You've got to come back to that place. Because of many years before that, I was about a 6 or 7 year old boy, I was given a little pocket testament, a scripture, and it said, you must be born again. And many years I didn't know what it meant, whether I had to come back as a dog or a bird or how I had to be born all over again or whatever. I just didn't understand that as a child. But I come to that place in life of what it means to have Jesus Christ in your life. It's all about that new birth, that regrowth in your life. And so, you know, God does that in our lives. But as in the Israelites wandering, the same is for us, you know, that we should never forget. We should never forget who delivered us out of that place. You know, that God is, every one of you people this morning, that God has touched your life and he's taken you out of whatever place or situation you're in, and he says, today you're mine, today you're mine, today salvation, excuse me, has come upon you. So we forget a lot of things, don't we? We forget what, we forget where, we forget who. But so when we are very slow in bringing certain things to remembrance, how soon they forget. It's a fairly popular saying. It's just more than a clever saying. It is the truth, because you know we do forget quickly, don't we? Sports fans forget their team won last year when they begin to lose this year. Rub it in. But, you know, children forget the sacrifices parents make, don't they? Students forget what teachers taught them, teach them. We forget faces. We forget dates and places. We forget names of friends. I think I walked up the doctor a couple of weeks ago and I went to say, oh, hi, Doc, and I just had a mental blank. And I said, what's your name again? You know, and it's so embarrassing, you know, you get a mental blank. But, you know, we do things, don't we? But fortunately, you know, most of the things we forget, they're not all that serious, thankfully, about that, you know. For many of us, you know, forgetfulness is not just signs of ageing, you know, it happens to everyone, doesn't it? And just a little bit of byplay this morning. Three elderly ladies were sitting and chatting about various things. And one lady says, you know, I'm getting forgetful. This morning I was standing on top of the stairs and I couldn't remember whether I had just come up or I was about to go down. And the second lady says, oh, you think that's bad? The other day I was sitting on the edge of my bed and I couldn't remember whether I was going to bed or whether I had just woken up. And the third lady smiled smugly. She said, well, my memory is just as good as it always been. And she knocks on the table, says, knock on wood. And with a startled look on her face, she looks towards the door and she asks, who's there? Don't laugh, men. It's, I think men are worse than the ladies. I'm sure the ladies would all say yes. So forgetfulness comes upon all of us, doesn't it? So, we're called to remember, aren't we? God wants us to remind us of that what he has done and what's taken our place in our lives. And like I said, we just tend to forget things so very, very quickly. But different times we're remembered, things come to remembrance, don't they? Lest we forget, particularly on Anzac Day, we remember there, you know, the sacrifice that was made with all the people who fought in the worlds and in the wars, all that type of thing. And today we're brought to remembrance again. This morning we just had a time of sharing around the Lord's table. We came to remembrance of what Jesus has done in our life, of what God has done. As Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember, don't forget about me. And so we do that as often as we meet in this situation. And so it's good to always to remember. You know, we celebrate all the good things that God has done for us and for his people, you know, and it also just keeps us more aware of the importance of our salvation and our dependence upon Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour of all our lives. We need to be reminded of God's indiscriminate provision and care for those in need. We too quickly forget that the gospel of good news is for those who are cut off. It's not always for us. It is for us, but it's more so for the people who don't yet know Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, you know, these people who don't know Christ, they're cut off from the land of promise, that promise of entering in into the things of God. And that's our job, that's our command, that's what Jesus asked us to do. you know, that we'd bring the message, we'd bring that people into that place where they can enter in and share in the goodness of God and celebrate as we do. But the gospel is a word of blessing, amen? It's a word of blessing. And to those who find, particularly for those who find themselves out of God's care, but for us who know Christ, it's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge of commitment and to everyone within the kingdom of God. It's a challenge, you know, that we get to go on to do even greater things, you know, more things. The better we do things there in attracting people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. But so we're there. But we often become too comfortable, don't we, with the things of the gospel? You know, it's all too much commonplace for us, for some of us. But there's always a challenge there. We get too comfortable, and we fall into comfortable routines, don't we? And just let it be a little commonplace event instead of having that real zealousness, that real passion there to get into things of God, to remember God, and to come to Him in that way. We forget many everyday things. Many things we see and hear become common events, don't they? We see so many things on television. You say, oh yeah, another one of those. That's happened. Oh well. And there and there. That, you know, there's about 700 or 800 people, I think, lost their lives in the floods in Taiwan, wasn't it? So, you know, the world doesn't seem to care about that, do they? It's life seems to become very dispendable and very cheap, you know. There doesn't seem to be, anyway. A lot of people have that real sorrow and compassion, you know, that all these lives are lost. Those families lost their loved ones in that PNG plane tragedy. And there, you see another plane go down, 500, you know, doesn't seem to raise a hair with someone, many people, does it? So, you know, we just tend to ignore many everyday things, don't we? And that decimate the families and people's lives. And but what it's all about, it's the hungry who need feeding, amen? It's the hungry who need feeding. It's the thirsty who need drink. It's the homeless who need housing. And it's the jobless who need employment. And it's those who don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ who are in need of God's word today. You know, and it's been the same for generations. It's true today just as much as ever that, you know, people tend to forget quickly. We forget many things, the important events and not so important events. A lot of things we want to forget. We don't want to remember, do we? Don't want to be reminded. But just coming back to the Israelites there, we see there God took a people in bondage and he listened to their cries. And we know that when we reach out to God, when we cry out and say, help me God, God hears our cry, amen? Encourage you that with the day, that God hears our prayer. And so God, he took them into the wilderness that, you know, where they might learn to depend upon him and for their needs. Again and again, we see there in this chapter how Moses reminds them how God humbled them and how they might recognize that he was able to provide. We read of how much God did, how he delivered them. We find there that a nation in the wilderness just being reminded of Yahweh, of God's unfailing love for those who didn't have a protector, for those who need a protector. God gave the Israelites a powerful promise, amen? And he gave them earlier on in there that they know that they were to enter and to possess there. But particularly in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, where Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and he's just reminding there again. And he's just reminding there, when the Lord brings you into land you're about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. God was going to open the way. All they had to do was go in and enter, because God was with them. His hand was upon them, and he was going to make the way open. There weren't going to be any hindrances there that they couldn't overcome. And so down in verse 6 of chapter 7 he says, "For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God." And he says, "Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you." God has chosen each one of us. Amen? He's chosen you. He's shown you to be what? His own special treasure. Special treasure. God loves us and thinks us so much. He sees us as a treasure. Something, we look at a treasure, we see it as valuable. And God sees us that way. And it says in verse 7, "The Lord did not choose you and lavish his love upon you because you were larger or greater than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. It was simply because the Lord loves you." Simply because the Lord loves you, and because he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestor. God is faithful, amen? And God is true to your word. And even though the Israelites were done wrong in his sight, God was true to his promise. He was still faithful in that keeping and going to take them into the promised land. In verse 9 it says, "Understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and constantly loves those who love him and obey his commands. Therefore, obey all these commands and laws and regulations I'm giving you today." He says, if you listen to these regulations and obey them faithfully, the Lord your God will keep his covenant on failing love with you. You will be blessed. Hear that. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. And so God gave them a powerful promise that if they were faithful to him, if they upheld his commands and statutes and walked in his ways, just worship him alone, God would take them through and they would be a blessed people. And we can be that blessed people too as we do all the things what God requires of us. So we see there that how God, he laid it out, how everything would be, what a fantastic place he was leading them into. And I'd love a farm in that place with all the gushing streams and water flowing rivers, and where it says crops and barleys and all that stuff would grow, all the fruits and the produce of the land. It seemed to me if it would be just in one great beautiful valley or something there, but it would have been a fantastic place, I'm sure. But even so, God hasn't been short, because he put that across the earth. You know, we only have to drive around just down the Keeler Valley there. Have a look at all the produce that grows down there. All your beautiful salads, ladies? Yeah, all the lettuces and different kinds of lettuce and stuff. But so, you know, you get a picture when you see all these market gardens. You go down Werribee and see all the cabbages and cauliflowers, and you go to Bacchus Marsh, places like that. You just see all the goodness of God, and then you go up into the hills and up towards Warburton Way. I forget. Yeah, yeah. all through there, a lot of the vineyards, but also they grow strawberries and cherries and you name it. But there's so many places you just drive from here to far as you can go to the tip of Australia, and you just see the goodness of God, how he's given us so much, a land of provision. And there, you only have to look into the supermarkets, you know, to see how much produce, the goodness of what God's done. You know, people say, well, where's God? Well, you only have to go into the supermarket to see where God's hand is upon the, you know, where we get everything we need. Who done made it? God, the creator of everything. The Lord provides. And so it's all there. So that was the wonderful promise that God had given them, that he was going to take them in that place and there. But so we're reminded again and again how the Lord showed his people undeserved mercy in bringing them out of that place of bondage. And also they're warned about not taking too much comfort and ease, you know, because you're going to forget when things become good and easy. We tend to forget things, but we see here that Moses is warning his people in preparation. He's saying, just be aware, be careful, because you're coming into a land of plenty and you're not used to all this, and you're beginning to come get full and fat and lazy, and because, you know, all you're going to forget my goodness, because you think it's all coming for nothing. But so there, Moses is warning them about not falling away, about not slipping back, to always bring to remembrance the things of God. And so to remember what God has done for them. They are to remember about how they were fed in the wilderness with the manna, and they were given the water in the barren place. They are to relive God's care for their clothing, the protection of their feet that God provided. And he calls them to remember and sing and to give praise, because it's all too easy to forget. And so we see there that Deuteronomy 8 is it's a warning and about that very dynamic, about, you know, how easy it is to forget. And we see how Israel, they travelled through the wilderness for 40 years. You know how far they had to travel? 11 and a bit days, I think. If they'd have went straight to the promised land, it would have taken them 11 and a bit days. How long did it take them? 40 years. 40 years they wandered around, all because of the disobedience, because they were told they're going there to possess, and they didn't. They travelled the wilderness for 40 years on a journey, and then an entire generation died of old age and of God's judgment upon them. And the memory of Israel was only of one thing. It was about God's unending provision through 40 years of nothing, really. 40 years of nothing. We see how manna fell from the heaven daily. All they had to do was go and gather it, and so that it wouldn't spoil. But we've seen how water came forth from the solid rock to give them drink in this dry place. And all those things that they couldn't take credit for. But, you know, it's not pretty, but it's an amazing picture about the Israelites. Imagine how they wandered for 40 years. They didn't have manufacturing needs, and they couldn't spin yarns or cottons and all that sort of stuff, or whatever they did to make clothing. God took care of them all through that journey. That's an amazing thing. Imagine wearing the same sneakers, same jeans, the same shirts. The clothing didn't wear out for 40 years. No one else but God could do that. And now we see they're standing on the edge of the promised land, the land of their dreams. And the warning was that they were not to forget who made it all possible. They're about to enter into God's promises, and Moses was reminding him. I keep saying it. The Lord, the Holy God of Israel, was the one who made it possible. And we all stand on that brink today, don't we? You know, we're standing on the brink of something greater. We all have that expectancy that God's going to do something even greater than in times gone by. That today we see a world that so much needs the love of God upon them, doesn't it? Or to accept the love of God. God's love is there. People just need to accept it. And so we're on the brink. We're on the brink of that promise, aren't we? Of entering into something even greater than the for what God has for us. But so we do that. But we often think that you know, people lose faith in the times of trouble. You know, when things get really bad, you know, we think, oh well, you know, their faith will topple over, or something like that. You know, when pain and distress and hardship come upon them, you know, we might think, oh, well, I'll use these things as an excuse, you know, to reject God. But, you know, that is not where we lose faith. Faith is lost much more readily when things are in plenty, you know, when you don't have to worry. It's in times of need, you know. I'm sure that when real hardship comes upon them, don't you think those people who perished in the bushfire cried out, God? I'm sure. If you're inside an inferno and you're facing death, you'd be crying out something to someone. I'm sure. It's only in times of need that we reach out. It's not in the times when we've got plenty and lack nothing. So in the midst of this, Moses, he didn't worry about people losing their faith in those times, or when they were hungry, or when the water ran out, there was nothing to eat. He knew that the people would cry out to their God, and they did. They whinged and moaned. They cried out. They cried out to Moses. They cried out to God. And God, in his mercy and compassion, he helped them, and they got back into the comfortable situation again. They found that they started reverting back. And so they went into this cycle all these years, from good to bad to worse to back, and coming back, going forwards, going back in between the good and the bad times all the time. And all the time crying out to God, and all the time God was hearing their cry, and in his compassion he helped them through. But what we need to see, in times of duress, when times are tough, you know, that's a great time, isn't it, for our faith to grow. It's a real training ground that we can really put into practice and really stand strong when times get tough. It's easy when things are going easy, but when the rubber hits the road, you know, we really got to stand strong. But we see there that Moses, he was more concerned about, you know, the people entering into all this richness and goodness than about what was behind, because he knew there that God would meet the need, God would help them and take and pull. He was concerned about, you know, entering this land flowing with milk and honey. How were the people going to respond from coming into this place from abundance and coming into abundance and comfort? You know, were they still going to depend on God? Were they still going to remember that it was God who brought them into this place? And that was Moses' concern there, you know, the people wouldn't stand. And that's why he's saying there, be careful to obey these commands. Remember the Lord. All that type of thing, he said. But time is to be careful, that beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord. And that's the encouragement for us today in the times where we lack nothing in this country. Amen. Everyone has an income. If they don't, well, they need to register and get one. But, you know, so our needs are met, aren't they, in all those in situations. And so we are grateful for everything we get. And so Moses is just telling the people, look, don't become lazy. Don't become lax just because you've got this abundance about you. Just remember the Lord God made it all. And there used to be a little Sunday school song I just thought of then, you know, about the Lord God made it all. I forget it all, but... yeah, that's right. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. The Lord God made them all. And so, you know, we forget all that, don't we? We forget all that when things are going well, when God's hand is there. We forget to cry out. So we're all too comfortable. It's all too easily to there. It's easy to sit in our seats here, isn't it, and overlooking all these the devastation that's around us that comes upon us. I mentioned that earlier, but as Moses warned the Israelites, you know, we tend to grow contented and we are comfortable when our basic needs are met. Where there's food on the table and clothing in the cupboard, we forget all too easy to thank God for his blessing and provision upon our lives. And I feel it's remembering is about more than forgetting. Remembering is about more than forgetting. It's a returning to that wilderness. Often we have to get back there a little bit and not to get in that dark place, but just to think back there and to renew our dependence. You know, we've all suffered hard times in our life or difficult times in our lives. And you'd never want to go back there. But I feel we just need to remember, well, God took me through there. God helped me through. God took me through that situation. And that's what this word is telling us about and encouraging with the day. Don't forget who it was that God was there. He was my help, he was my strength, he was my refuge, and he just brought me through and he delivered me. And so did I encourage you that, you know. But so, you know, we're all worthy of God's blessing, aren't we? Amen. God wants to bless us all, each and every one of us. None is left out. God wants to touch all people. He wants his spirit to come upon them and for his love to enter in. And I just feel that I had a word this morning there. It came upon me a couple of weeks ago, but it's from Psalm 24. It says, open up the ancient gates and let the King of Glory in. Open up ancient doors and let the King of Glory in. And then I feel that's what we need to do. I think we close the doors and we push the doors shut. You know, they might be just open a little bit, but, you know, what that word in Psalm 24, open up the ancient doors, open up the ancient gates, and let the King of Glory in. We don't want to hold God out of our life. Leave the door open. Leave that entrance ready, made open, just as we're able to enter into the things of God, because Jesus, God made it possible that we can enter in to his kingdom and have the blessing of eternal life because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Amen? I think that's all I'd like to share this morning, but again, just encourage us all, you know, lest we forget, because it's so easy when everything is going well. And it's always good to think back and remember what God has done in my life, what God has done in your life. So Lord, I just bless you and thank you, Father God, today, Lord, that we can just celebrate, Lord, your goodness. celebrate what you've done in our lives, Lord. Lord, you always bring things to remembrance, Lord. And Lord, your word offers us that challenge that, Lord, that we might never forget where we came from, that we might never forget it was you. It was you, Lord God Almighty, who said, come into my life, child. Come in, come in, come to me, and I will bless you. I will keep you. I will encourage you. I'll help you. I will strengthen you. God is able to lift you out. God is able to do everything that he says in his word. He will be all those things to each and every one of us as we allow him to come in, as we allow him to be the Lord of our lives. So, Lord, we just bless you. We thank you. And, Lord, I ask and pray today, Lord, we will open up the gates. We will leave those gates open, Lord. Lord, for your presence, for your glory to flow in our lives. In Jesus' name we've asked. Amen.